Time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. Your host, Dana Rodriguez, this night is joined by San Francisco Chronicle writer Steve Rubenstein and their music critic, Joshua Cosman. And here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We are having a lovely weekend out there. We wish Jerry well. He's a little down today with a foot problem, so we hope he's listening. And very nicely, Steve Rubenstein came in to
Not a foot and mouth problem.
Just a foot problem. So we wish him well, and we hope he'll be back soon. As I have said before, and we'll say again, Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation. It's very, very important. We've got an hour here, so we want to fill it up with as many calls as possible. So we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. That number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free. Yes, there's a toll-free number. Call, and it is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER, all strung together in one word. And that is at yahoo.com. Do it while Yahoo still exists. mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. I forgot who was going to buy them. Who's buying them?
Don't look at me.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I will have to be saying something else soon, I suppose. Again, that's mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. We don't read the emails during the show, but we do read them, so don't worry about that. If you'd like to hear us online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. They have a live stream right now. If you'd like to hear it later on a podcast or on iTunes, you can certainly do that. Go to kalw.org, and that podcast should be up a few hours after our show tonight. All right. All that being said, we will start with the round of introductions and then a round of questions. Steve has very helpfully printed his introduction for me. Thank you. Steve Rubenstein is excited to once again be brought up to date in the finer points of water polo strategy.
Yes, and my San Francisco Chronicle colleague, Josh Cosman, who I want to be when I grow up, is gunning for the silver tonight in not that advanced call-in radio quizzing category. Mm.
And our moderator, Danny Rodriguez, has been watching the Olympics carefully, and he figures the only sport he would have a chance with is skeet shooting, on account of no heavy lifting, no jumping, and no throwing involved.
That's right. So, all that being said, we will start with Steve Rubenstein.
All right. Well, this question has to do with our great local tradition of cable cars. Name the starting and end point of the longest cable car line.
Hyde Street. Is it Hyde Street?
Our local cable cars. Name the starting and end point.
I would have thought California. But
you might be right. I'm not an expert on this.
So you say Hyde Street.
So you want the starting and the ending.
I don't know.
What would be for California? What would be the starting and the end?
I don't know that either. I mean,
you're...
But Steve's giving us the tell. He's liking Hyde.
You say Hyde Street.
Yeah, but I don't know what the start and end street... You mean the cross streets? Is that what you're asking about?
The starting point and the end point, yeah.
Right. Well, it's the Hyde Street... must be the Hyde Street Pier. That must be the end point. No? Yes?
No, that's not correct.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
So, Josh, you say what?
I was guessing California, but it was a wild guess.
That's also incorrect.
Good. Then I don't have to think about where it starts and ends.
Nope. Don't know then.
Neither of you do. No. And neither of you have.
I haven't taken the cable car in many years.
We're looking for the starting and end point of the longest cable car line.
Okay. All right. And Josh, you go ahead, too.
All right. I'm going to follow up on a question that I got halfway through the last time I was on a couple weeks ago. I gave you the names of some words that are topics of study and asked you what they were the study of. And a couple of them, either Dana or Jerry or a caller, got campanology was the study of bells and bell ringing, fluviology, the study of water, rivers or other water courses. But there's some more that didn't get left, didn't get picked up last time, and I added some more this afternoon. So tell me what these are the studies of. I got six of them. Zymology, that's Z-Y-M-ology. Vexillology, V-E-X-I-L-L-ology. Pomology, P-O-M-ology. Cephology, that's P-S, silent P-S-E-P-H-ology. Urinology, that's U-R-A, wise guy, N-ology. And finally, ufology, U-F-ology. What are any of those?
I'm gonna go with the only one that I know.
Pomology, would that be apples?
Very good. Yeah, it's fruit in general, but you're on the right track. That's exactly right.
And the only one I know right offhand is vexillology, which is study of flags.
That's right. Both of you take a bell.
All right. Oh, I didn't get the bell.
Ding.
There. So vexillology is the study of flags. Pomology is the study of fruit. Apples is the etymological root, but it's fruit in general. Still looking for the meaning of the study of these studies, zymology, cephology, P-S-E-P-H-ology, urinology, and ufology, U-F-ology.
Right.
If you know any of those, give us a ring.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Garrett from Hayward.
Hi.
I got a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. You know this recent controversy about Trump not getting permission?
Start that again.
This thing with Trump borrowing certain songs and not getting permission?
Trump borrowing certain songs and not getting permission to use them.
Yes.
Reminds me of something. He once borrowed a song by the OJs that he used for one of his television shows. You know what the song was?
The OJs.
Okay. Must be the Backstabbers.
No, it's what came after that. It's not Love Train.
Oh, well, that was a good guess.
A song. So you're saying Trump used a song by the OJs?
Yeah, he used a song for one of, yeah.
For one of his...
Yeah, because he's been paying them royalties.
Huh.
It's not the worst thing he's done.
No. I'm just trying... I mean, my feeling is the OJs have the Backstabbers and everything else.
Yeah, but was there... I'll give you a clue. It came out in 74.
Well, the OJs... Peace Train, Love Train, Love Train. Peace Train is Cat Stevens. Love Train and Backstabbers, and then I'm out.
No, we don't know.
Don't know.
You don't know?
Nope.
For the love of money.
For the love of money.
Yeah, he got he borrowed his son. He didn't pay them any royalties.
Mm. Oh, well, that sounds like our Donald.
Yep.
Yeah. That was my second question. I have to see.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Which two stars appeared on a sitcom, appeared on two thumbs, television series the same season that were canceled.
So, I'm sorry, which two stars who
previously appeared on a sitcom appeared in two series during the 1977 series that were canceled?
When you say they, so they, I'm sorry, just to get to clarify, the two stars appeared together on a television series?
Yeah, on a sitcom, but they later went on to do two different series on different networks. Separately.
That's probably happened more than once. When was the sitcom on, the original sitcom? The
sitcom was on the early 60s. I'll give you a clue. Mm. It's probably one of the most played sitcoms of all time.
Dick Van Dyke Show?
No.
Early 60s. Andy Griffith.
What?
Andy Griffith.
Yes. You know who the two stars were?
Oh.
Gomer. No.
I bet Don Knotts.
Not Jim Neighbors.
Don Knotts must have been one.
Yeah. Was the other?
Who would the other be?
Not Jim Neighbors.
It's a woman, correct?
No.
It's not a woman. Okay. Then.
It's another one of Star. Give you that.
Of the Andy Griffith Show.
Floyd the Barber.
No.
Ron
it's
Howard.
Obvious,
how about Ron Howard?
Yeah, that's good.
You know who it is?
No.
It's Andy Griffith.
Oh, yeah, he did have another
that's
show.
That's right. He went on to Andy of Mayberry, or the Mayberry RFD didn't have him in it.
No,
it had Ken Berry.
No, it was, he did one series called Headmaster.
Right, right. I have a vague memory of that.
The sort was attempt to recapture the magic of the Andy Griffith Show called the New Andy Griffith Show, and that was gone in 3 months.
Right.
Yeah. It's like the new Coke.
Huh.
Yeah. Bad idea.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me give you a couple questions. I must say I like this question. I got the idea from Harper's Magazine, and I expanded it just a little bit. So after the Democratic and Republican parties, what are the next three oldest active political parties in the U.S.?
Ooh.
After the Democrats and the Republicans, what are the next three oldest active political parties in the U.S.?
Active.
Communist.
Progressive.
No, and... Yes, Communist Party of the USA.
We're on the radio. They can't see where you're pointing.
Oh, sorry. you're wrong, Josh, and Steve is right.
Okay, so the bell that is about to be rung is going to be my bell, not Josh's.
It is correct. Okay. The Communist Party of the USA was founded in 1919. Okay, so there are two other parties here, but you had your guess, Steve. Since Josh was wrong, I'll give him one more guess.
What, you get rewarded for being wrong on this show?
Well, you know, I want to give him another chance.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. The Libertarian is not. That's not been around that long. I'm trying to think what are some other fringe parties that have been.
I'll tell you this much: the oldest one was founded in the 19th century, and then the other one on this list was founded in the 20th.
Hmm. Well, I don't know the Know Nothing part.
Okay,
but Know Nothing still around?
Nope, afraid not.
Okay.
Well,
not
in, a way, in a way,
they didn't know anything.
Yeah. So once more, after the Democratic and Republican parties, what are the three oldest active political parties in the U.S.? Steve got one of them, which is the Communist Party of the U.S. That was founded in 1919. What are the other two on that
list? Are the
list?
Republicans and Democrats, in fact, the oldest?
They are the oldest active parties, yeah.
Okay.
The Democrats, to be fair, are the oldest active party. So,
yeah.
And... All right, Reddit, the website, did a survey in about a year ago, and their viewers, what was the hardest English word to pronounce correctly, and it turned out to be a food item. So, Reddit did a survey of their viewers, and they asked what was the hardest English word, American English word, to correctly pronounce, and it was this food item.
And if we say it, we're going to mispronounce it.
No, you probably won't. I don't.
Huh.
Is it a dessert?
No, it's not a dessert.
All right, I'm going to think about that. I was going to say library or February, but I guess...
In a little while, I'll tell you how many letters are.
Mascarpone.
No, it's an English. It's English. Nothing from a foreign language. It doesn't come from a foreign language.
Yeah.
It's an English word.
All right.
Okay.
Let me think about it.
All right.
I like this.
So once more, Reddit did a survey last year, and they asked their the viewers what was the hardest English word to pronounce correctly, and it was this food item.
Does it have an X in it?
Does not. Does not.
Do I get any more hints?
In a little while, I'll tell you how many letters.
Okay.
All right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Colette from Vernal Heights.
Hi, Colette.
And my question is, who is the youngest actress to star on Broadway with her name above the marquee title?
Oh, that's an interesting
Ooh.
Question.
Above.
In lights, you mean, huh? Or sort of.
Did Shirley Temple do any stage work? Or
don't think so. Is it, how long ago? May we ask how long ago this was?
I think it. I'm not sure, but I think the 50s, possibly.
50s. Oh, how about Patty Duke?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
No.
Okay. How about the girl who was in The Bad Seed?
It's Patty Duke.
No, that's not Patty Duke. That's, what was her name? McCormick. Patty McCormick.
Oh.
No, uh-oh.
How old was she?
Or we don't know if it's a she.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she said
it's
a she.
It's a actress, yeah.
Actress, okay.
That's a she.
Yeah.
Would it give too much away if you told us how young she actually was?
I don't know. Do, I have no idea.
Would you think she was a teenager?
It could be. It could be, yeah. She was pretty young, yeah.
Okay.
Boy, this isn't ringing any bells.
50s, you think?
I think, yeah.
And was this the play a big hit?
I don't know.
Was it a play or a musical?
You know, I don't know. The star on Broadway is probably a musical, I guess.
I think you better tell us because we're
not... Susan Strasberg.
Oh, so let me think what it was then. Susan Strasberg. What was she in? What was it?
Yeah, I don't know. I just know it was Susan Strasberg.
Ah, all right. Well, we can look that up.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert in San Francisco.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, my wife Lori and I have been listening to the show for years. We're chagrined you don't have many women hosts.
Oh, sorry.
But, yeah, you should be. And also that first guy who called, boy, he's blowing my ear out. He's so loud. But anyway, I have a couple questions. One is a Broadway one. The original Broadway musical Chicago, who were the three stars?
Wasn't Richard Gere.
Gwen Verdon.
Yep.
Was Richard Gere one of the original?
No, not on Broadway.
Not on Broadway.
It might have been
Gwen Verdon and...
The fellow who was on Law & Order.
Jerry Orbach.
Might have been Jerry Orbach.
I don't think so. I think it's that gal who was always in the Bob Fosse musicals whose name I
can't...
That's
Gwen Verdon.
The other one. Anne Ryan King.
Nope.
No?
If Jerry Orbach was correct, though.
Oh. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
I saw it live. I went to school with John F. Kennedy Jr. His mom treated the whole class anonymously to a musical every semester. I found out years later it was her.
Huh.
It wasn't anonymous.
So you've got Verdon and Orbach. Just one more.
Cheetah Rivera.
Bingo. You got
nicely
it.
Nicely done. Wow.
Excellent.
All right.
Good.
Gave
Thank
yourself
you.
Two bells.
All right.
Okay, and I got another question. What is the only baseball team to win 5 World Series in a row? What were the years, and what teams did they beat?
Oh, no. You're asking the wrong group of people, I'm afraid.
I'm tempted to say Yankees, but that's probably too easy.
Well, it is the Yankees, but you got to get the years and who they beat, which National League team they beat each time.
Well, I'm going to say one of them was the Dodgers.
True. That was the first time. Do you know what year it was?
The Brooklyn Dodgers, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
51.
50. Nope.
No, it'd be 30s or late 30s. Early.
No, you think?
Late 20s.
Three times they beat Brooklyn in that sequence.
Yeah.
Late 20s.
We're just flailing here.
Yeah, no, we don't know. Sorry.
You want to tell us?
Yeah, I'll tell you. 49 was the Brooklyn Dodgers they beat. 50 49. Philadelphia Phillies.
So I was in the right ballpark, as it were.
The New York Giants, that was right after the Bobby Thompson home run knocked the Dodgers out.
Right. Sure.
In the playoff. And then 52 and 53, they beat Brooklyn.
Like a rug.
All right.
So
thank you.
That's some Broadway and baseball for you.
Thanks.
You need a woman host.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is John in Bernal Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's Rick is the answer, gave the answer. Zymology is the study of fermentation?
That is correct.
Excellent.
Well done.
Yeah. Good job.
I have a question or two myself,
all right.
Which came up because of, last week we were talking about the statues in the in Congress.
Right.
Who is Ronald Reagan joined with?
Sarah. Father Sarah?
Yeah, Father Sarah, exactly.
Right.
So, now, when Starr King was in there, what did that make California unique in? This is professions. What was Starr King?
I used to know this. Thomas Starr King.
How about I have no idea who Starr King was, but
oh, there was cat. But
if you're asking about
it's
professions,
it's a Catholic thing.
I'm going to get no.
Well,
if, no?
Not oh. quite, but both were clergymen.
Right.
I think California was the only state. Now, Starr King has a fairly unusual honor paid to him by the city of San Francisco.
Well, there's a street, isn't there?
Well, yeah, but
plaza. It's a
streets.
Plaza.
Is he buried in San Francisco?
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. What, do you know where?
I do not. No.
The corner of Geary and Franklin.
Oh, really?
Huh.
Yeah. And next to the his church was the Unitarian Church.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Not at that location at the time. When I think they sent everybody to coma, Sar King was allowed to remain put. I also have an answer, I think, to the parties. I believe the Prohibition Party still exists.
That is the oldest one, yes.
Or
the Prohibition
they like
Party.
It. I don't know if it still has
no,
a
it's
name.
No, it's, yeah. The, it's still called the Prohibition Party, yeah.
Another bell.
1869.
And I think the other party might be the something called the Socialist Labor Party.
You're close enough. It's the Socialist Workers Party. Good
oh,
job.
The Workers. Okay.
1938.
Well done.
The names around all the
very
well
good.
Done, John.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for me.
Thank
and,
you.
Have a good evening.
All right, you too. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is Chronicle reporter, beat man.
Beat up man,
Steve Rubenstein. Of course, the Chronicle's well-known classical music critic, Joshua Cosman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on KALW, that's 91.7 FM, your local public radio station. The phone numbers to join us here are area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. And Steve, it is your turn.
All right. Well, I'm just back from Puget Sound. I went on a cycling trip. So these movies all are based in Seattle or Puget Sound. I'm going to give you, describe five movies. You tell me what the movie is. In this 1970 drama, an oil field worker has an argument about an order of toast.
Five Easy Pieces.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In this 1973 romance set in Seattle, James Caan beats Marsha Mason in a game of pool.
Oh, what is that?
Yeah.
It's a Cinderella Liberty.
Cinderella Liberty.
That's right.
You also have another
right.
bell. Okay, all Michelle right. Pfeiffer sings Making Whoopee with one of two piano-playing brothers.
That's the Fabulous Baker Boys.
Okay, right. Also set in some dive in Seattle.
Is it?
All right. This 1965 movie about a suicide crisis hotline starred Sidney Poitier and Anne Bancroft, and was written by journalist Shane Alexander and produced by her husband, Steve Alexander.
The Slender Thread.
Yes, The Slender Thread.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. This 1963 picture that featured Elvis and the Space Needle scored 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It happened at the World's Fair.
It happened at the World's Fair. Give yourself another bell. Excellent.
All right.
Okay.
Give us another question. I'm sorry. We shouldn't have gone through all
those.
Okay. I can't stop myself.
No, that was wonderful. All right. Okay. All right. I will give you a short one then.
All right.
You still don't have the cable car line.
No.
We're leaving that for the listeners.
All right. All right. This, with regard to the Olympic Games, in 1960, of course, the Olympics were at Squaw Valley. And Squaw Valley Olympics holds the distinction as being the last Olympic Games in which times were recorded in this manner. Squaw Valley holds the distinction as being the last Olympic Games in which the times...
With a stopwatch?
The times of the participants were recorded in this manner. No, not stopwatches.
Okay.
Good guess, but you don't
when
get
when did you say it was? I'm sorry?
1960?
The 1960 Olympics at Squaw Valley.
Hmm.
In other words, in the 1964 Games, they were done in a different way.
Right.
I don't know how other what other ways there are,
well,
but
there must be.
Someone will know that.
All right.
That's a good one to look
okay.
at.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. This is James in Berkeley.
Hi, James.
And I'm just wondering, was the question about who bought Yahoo a valid question?
Well, in a way it is, because I'm curious who's going to be handling the Minds Over Matter email one of these days.
Okay. It's Verizon.
Oh, all right. So it's, yeah. Verizon at, yeah,
they
ORG.
Bought them for $4 billion some dollars.
Okay.
And then another of your questions,
yes.
Was one of them UFOlogy?
Yes. Do you know what that is?
Is that the study of UFOs?
It is.
Oh, good job.
Well done.
Good job.
Okay, that's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Josh, you want to go ahead?
All right. So, you know, in 2004, Rolling Stone magazine put out their list of 500 greatest songs of all time. And I mined it for a couple of questions, one of which I've used on the radio on the show before, but you weren't here, Rube, so I'll bring it back again. And that was, what is the only song that's on the list that is not sung in English? My second question is, what's the only song on that list that's an instrumental? And finally, this is a longer one. We can leave this out for folks. There are three songs that appear twice on the list performed by different artists.
All right. Go over the whole thing.
So out of the 500 greatest songs of all time per Rolling Stone magazine, one, what's the only song on the list that's not sung in English?
Is it Italian?
No. What is the only song, in quotes, on the list that is actually an instrumental? There's no lyrics or vocals at all. And finally, there are three songs on the list that appear twice in versions by different artists. And see if you can name them.
Is either the instrumental or the song not sung in English, is it sung in Portuguese?
It is not sung in Portuguese.
Okay. Is the instrumental Portuguese?
No.
Okay.
The instrumental is not
Brazilian. Brazilian.
The instrumental is not sung in anything. It's just
no. I'm sorry. Yeah, but
it's not. Brazilian. No.
Okay.
It's all American. It's all American.
All American.
Is the language French?
No.
Would it give it away immediately if you knew the language?
It would help. I think I'm going to stop. You know, I've ruled out French and Portuguese and Italian. And I'll tell you, it's a different one than any of those. And
I don't think it's German.
I'm not going to say anymore.
A minute. By the way, he just said I'm not going to say anymore. It's probably German.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Right. It's German.
I would find that unusual.
It would be surprising,
yes,
to say the least.
Yes, this is not Schubert Lieder.
We're being set up here.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, leave that out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, is that me?
It is you.
Yeah, it's Roger in San Francisco.
Hi, Roger.
Hey, I think the most unpronounceable word is that Worcestershire sauce.
It is Worcestershire sauce. Very good.
Very easily because I...
Good job on that.
And the instrumental, would that have been Moonlight Serenade?
Not Moonlight Serenade. Good guess, but... Not, you got to get your.
This is more.
This is Rolling.
Rock and
this
roll.
Is Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not. You know.
Yeah.
People like you and me.
And the song not in English, would that be Besame Mucho?
No.
Or would it be Dankeschön?
No. Again, you're making good guesses for an earlier generation, but this is Rolling Stone we're talking about.
Dankeschön's in English.
Besame Mucho. We didn't get Spanish, did we?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Worcestershire sauce. We should have thought of that.
Yeah.
What's this here sauce?
Exactly. Okay. So I have an opera question here.
Oh, good.
Two, actually. So what I'd like is, this is according to OperaBase, which is the database for opera. What are the two most performed operas of the 20th century? And this is for composers born after 1900.
Oh, operas of the 20th century.
Correct.
Yeah.
But the composer has to be born after 1900.
Understood.
So what are the two most performed operas of the 20th century composers? Composers should be born after 1900. Yeah. And second question, what is the most performed opera by a living composer?
Interesting. And there's no overlap between those.
No, there is not.
Josh has this one all to himself.
Yeah. I don't know is the living composer American?
I don't think I'm going to say.
Okay. Because I don't know if this is really number one, but it's up there would be Jake Heggie's opera, Dead Man Walking.
That is it.
Is it really?
Yes, it really is. All right. Very good.
Well done, wow. Jake. Yeah.
Yes, that is the most performed opera by a living composer currently.
I'll be darned. Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
And it premiered here in San Francisco.
That's right.
And one day I'm going to see it.
Yeah. You will. You
so
should.
What are it's the good. Two most performed operas of 20th century composers? And the composer should
the
have been
composer
born after 1900.
Was born after 1900. So, but they're more than Dead Man Walking.
Yes, it is not.
So both composers, are they by different composers?
They are different composers.
And they're both dead.
They are both dead.
All right. Did you say American or did I make that up?
I did not say.
You did not say American. All right. I'm going to have to. Oh, well. No, that's not right. I'm going to have to think about
this.
I don't want to chew up radio time with this.
So, once more, what are the two most performed operas of the 20th century composers? The composer should have been born after 1900. So, what are they? And
After 1900 or?
After 1900.
Okay.
Or 1900.
Or it could be 1900?
It could be 1900, yes.
How about the Threepenny Opera?
It is not.
Okay.
Okay. Was he born in
1900? 1900 to 1950.
Interesting.
Easiest composer's dates to ever remember.
That's very good. All right, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. So two of my answers got taken by prior callers, which Limoges, fermentation, and ufology, which is very obvious, the study of images of UFOs. Okay, well, I have one more. Hopefully it's correct. Plumology, actually using waves in archaeology and other things to map like temples or grounds or whatever.
Oh.
Homology.
Yes, but that is true. That's a good one. That's not one the one I asked, but I like it anyway. Okay.
Yeah, that is good. Okay, so I got one. Okay, I have a couple of very good questions, one of which is rivers. So you have only one chance. If you don't answer, leave it to the audience. Longest?
Well, it's the Amazon, I think.
No.
Nile.
It's the Nile.
Nile, okay. Oh. Largest?
Nile.
No. The longest is the Nile. Largest as far as the amount of water.
That's the Amazon.
That is the Amazon, exactly. Yeah. Okay, how about the narrowest?
Cordonesis Creek.
No, it's 10 inches.
Oh.
10 inches. It is overseas. So we leave that to the audience.
All
10
right.
inches, but 1,000 mile long. Okay, the shortest is only 200 feet.
It's in Oregon. It's
you're right.
Yeah,
very good. You got that one.
It has a single letter name. I don't remember what it is.
It is the Dee River. It's called the Dee River.
The Dee River, like, right?
Dee River. Okay. How about the widest?
The widest. Mississippi.
Yeah. 250 miles. Close to 250 miles. But the river, not an ocean. It is actually
at the one in South America where
Orinoco.
At Montevideo.
Argentina?
Orinoco?
Oh, no. That's on the Rio. Not the Rio Plata. It's.
No, yeah, it is.
Rio Plata is right.
Right, okay.
Okay, did very well. The only one we need is the narrow.
Who gets the bell?
In China.
We all do.
All
okay,
right.
Okay,
all right.
Good. In China. My second question. Most people are born right handed, but few are left handed. Now, let's take that to astrophysics. According to astrophysics, actually, the universe is left-handed. The whole universe, starting from the beginning, is left-handed. And because of that fact, which is called CP violation, which is charge parity violation, we have us here. Without that right-handed preference, the universe as we know it would never have existed. Believe it or not, that's a true fact. People have got Nobel Prize about that fact. The whole universe prefers the left hand than the right hand. So you have more matter than antimatter. If that wasn't for that, matter and antimatter would have annihilated both themselves and been no universe.
Wait. What's the question?
Are you left-handed? I bet you're left-handed, aren't you?
No. I'm right-handed.
Okay.
But the question is, what? A couple of people got Nobel Prize for that fact, the left-handedness of the universe. I like to name them.
Oh, all right. We'll leave that out to people.
Okay. Thank you, bro.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you would like to call in, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. It's not my turn. It's Steve's turn.
Is it?
Because I just did the opera question.
Right. You're right. Beg your pardon.
All right. We're looking for people who were born on August 14th. I've got going to describe four people to you who were all born on August 14th. Tell me who they are. Banjo-playing former Disneyland magician.
Steve Martin.
All
good
right.
job.
This dentist who once saved Wyatt Earp's life.
Doc Holliday.
Yes. Okay. Woodstock veteran who wrote Almost Cut My Hair.
Neil Young.
No.
Sorry, David Crosby. My mistake.
Give him half a bell.
Yeah. No.
Okay, that's good. If Pulitzer Prize winning autobiographer.
Pulitzer Prize.
Pulitzer. Pulitzer.
Yeah. Every time somebody says Pulitzer, somebody sends me an email saying you're mispronouncing it. So it's Pulitzer. Pulitzer.
Worcestershire Prize winning.
Worcestershire Prize. Yeah. Pulitzer That's Prize. That's what the ufology prize winning autobiographer, who was a good friend of Chronicle columnist Art Hoppe.
Pulitzer Prize winning autobiography?
Author. Well, he wrote...
Autobiographer. An autobiographer must be an author.
But he won the Pulitzer Prize for the autobiography.
Yes, he did.
For writing about himself.
Yes, he did.
I don't know.
Himself or herself.
Nope. Yeah. No, that's... Now you've stumped us. Now you've done it.
Okay. We'll leave that one out there.
All right. Is that it?
That's all. That's four.
And my brother.
Yes. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
Was that Rolling Stone instrumental classical gas?
Good guess. But I like not that. Right. It's actually a much better number than that.
Oh, well.
I mean, nothing wrong with classical gas, it's pretty swell, the instrumental.
Is it?
On.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, and on the ologies, was that vexillology with a V?
Yeah.
That's the study of flags.
That's correct.
And I believe urinology is the study of things under the surface of the earth.
No, that's not right.
Okay. I have a question.
Okay.
Right.
I have 11 words that have come into English from Arabic, and they all begin with the letters A-L. Can you come up with
algebra?
All of them?
Algebra?
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Alchemy?
Yes.
Algorithm?
Yes.
Good. Al Jazeera?
that's not
well,
really,
it's the same. It's the same
really
root.
English.
Very good.
Al dente?
No.
No. That wouldn't be Arabic.
Al Jolson.
I'm sorry. What have we got? We got algorithm, algebra, and
alchemy.
And alchemy.
Algorithm.
Yeah. And
Altoona.
And they all begin with A L.
Yep.
Because it's the definite article in Arabic.
Yeah.
Not al fresco.
You guys don't hang out in bars enough.
Oh, alcohol. Thank you.
Good job.
Of course.
Yeah. No, we don't.
I don't know. I'm stumped at this point.
You picked off the
we picked off the low hanging fruit.
Yeah. Yep. There's, should we leave out the rest?
If you like,
sure.
Go ahead.
All right.
Altimeter.
Nope. That's from the Greek.
Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Don't know the source of that.
All right.
That is Arabic.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it out.
Very good.
Thank you. Josh, I think it's your turn.
Okay. Let me think what I'm going to go with here. What chemical elements have the same number of letters in their name as their atomic number?
Oh.
There's only two. You
carbon.
Got to get them both.
Carbon.
Okay.
Six.
Good. Get them one.
Good.
What's the other one?
It's got to be one of the lower ones. Hydrogen, helium, lithium, carbon, neon. No. Fluoride. I don't know. Flora? No.
All right. Leave it out.
You got one right out of the gate. All right. So we're looking for the two chemical elements that have the same number of letters in their name as their atomic number. Steve got carbon without even thinking, but there's one more that has stumped even him.
All right.
If you know that.
All right. I'll do a question quickly, then we'll go back to calls. I'm going to give you three famous short stories that were made into more famous science fiction films. Very famous science fiction films, but the name of the story and the name of the science fiction film were completely different. So I want you to tell me that the film that these stories inspired, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So again, they're science fiction films. Keep that in mind. Number one, Farewell to the Master. Number two, The Foghorn. And number three, Who Goes There? Now, these are three well-known science fiction films, or well-known science fiction short stories, and they inspired very famous science fiction films by a different title. Number one, Farewell to the Master. Number two, The Foghorn. And number three, Who Goes There? All right.
No. Once you didn't say about the androids and the electric sheep.
Yeah, everybody knows that one. Uh-huh. Now.
Well, that's the only one I know.
Okay. So once more, Farewell to the Master, The Foghorn, and Who Goes There? Those are the original stories that inspired what very well-known science fiction films. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred from West Virginia.
Hi, Fred.
I got an answer and a question.
Okay.
I think that the top 500 Rolling Stones song,
mm-hmm.
not in English and Spanish, was La Bamba.
That is correct.
Oh, all right.
Well
okay.
done.
Richard Venezuela, also known as Richie Valens.
Exactly right.
Okay, now, what state was the athlete from who won the first gold medal this year, and why is it an embarrassment for Minds Over Matter?
The first gold medal was won by a woman, wasn't it? And
yes.
And it was for. It was a more slightly more offbeat sport. Was it for? I want to say either archery or shooting.
Shooting. Yes. 50-meter air rifle.
Air rifle. Okay.
From what state? And why is it embarrassing for Minds Over Matter?
So many things are.
I was
going to
say,
there's
what isn't embarrassing?
We're constantly being embarrassed. Let's see. Anything to do with West Virginia?
Exactly.
She was from West Virginia, was she? Okay.
She was from West Virginia, and last week the question was asked, what four states are athletes not from? And West Virginia was given as the answer from a woman from Napa, and the whole panel agreed with it.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Ironic.
We're taking the bell back.
That's ironic. Right. Well, I should get a bell.
You should.
For Victoria Thrasher, who won from West.
Good for her.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Yeah, this is David in Oakland.
Hi.
Hi. A few answers, at least guesses and answers.
Okay.
Steve, your question about Squaw Valley, was that the last time they measured time in tenths of seconds?
Yes. Last time, beginning in 1964, right. They measured them in hundredths of seconds.
Right. Okay. And then someone got La Bamba before me, but I have some other answers or guesses at least for mm-hmm. Joshua's list. For the ones that have been done twice, is Blue Moon one of them?
No. Good guess, but not right.
What about Stand By Me?
No.
What about Mr. Tambourine Man?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. Do you know the artists?
Bob Dylan and the Birds.
Yeah, Bob Dylan and then the Birds.
Correct.
Right. And then for the instrumental is Green Onions?
That's it. Green Onions by Booker T and the MGs.
Wow.
Right. Okay. And then I have a question. Well, I have two questions. I have one that is, I will accuse everyone in the world except Dana, because probably no one else will be able to get this. But I was looking up Frederick March movies. The other day?
You're my kind of person.
Okay, from 1930, and I noticed something a lot. One of them, he made two movies that year. You can take the first four letters off of one of the movies and name the second movie.
Oh. You mean the entire name of the second movie is made up of four letters? Or
Correct. No. If you take the first movie and remove the first four letters of that movie, right. You name the second movie.
Oh, I see. Huh, okay.
Take away the first four letters of Inherit the Wind, you get writ.
No.
If you were to take the first four letters of Inherit the Wind, you'd just be taking off I and H-U. They're both one-word titles.
Oh, I see.
It was just a weird thing that I noticed.
Wait a minute, is that... No, that's not right. Okay, let me think. That's right. Am I not allowed to guess on this?
Oh, no, I was accusing everyone else in the world because I didn't think anyone else other than you would ever have a chance of getting this. This is only for you. I didn't want anyone else to be embarrassed. This is like
I'm trying to think what movies he made in 1930. Sarah and Son, that's 1930, isn't it?
No, they're both one-word titles.
Both one-word.
I'll tell you the truth. I've never heard of either film. I was just looking up his movies and I happened to notice this.
Is Laughter one of them?
Yes.
Okay. That's actually a pretty good movie. I think that's a Philip Berry play. So laughter and...
And add four, typically you add four letters to the front of laughter to get the other title.
That's more Josh's.
Sorry, I was thinking about operas. What
yeah,
was it?
You were.
So you take the last, the first four letters of laughter and do something else with them?
No. Just add four letters to the front of laughter.
Oh, okay.
Oh, manslaughter.
Manslaughter.
Exactly.
It is.
Exactly.
Very good. Yeah. Next. Good job. Yeah. Good job.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then I have one other question if you have time.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, and 9 of the 10 tallest statues in the world have something in common.
9 of the 10 tallest statues in the world have something in common.
They have a pigeon on top.
Their subject matter.
Oh, are they
generals?
Buddha?
Yeah, they're Buddhas. Buddha. Exactly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're Buddhas, different Buddhas, but yeah.
Interesting.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you. I like that Frederick March question.
So before we go to a call, yes. I've been thinking about operas, and okay. I just was trying to remember, be sure exactly when Benjamin Britten was born, and it was after 1900. Yeah. So I'm going to say either Peter Grimes. Is Peter Grimes one of them? Or Billy Budd?
No, you shot. I gave you two guesses there. No, neither one.
Neither one.
Neither one.
Okay.
And
you can have my two guesses. Josh, go ahead. Keep going. You're on a roll.
Yeah, I'm not really doing that.
I like
am
it.
I
like I'm it when people besides well. Myself miss questions.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to have to go all back right. to the drawing board.
Yes. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, now we're stumped. Hi, it's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Well, if it ain't Billy Budd, and it's not Peter Grimes, but you are hitting upon Benjamin Britten.
I didn't say it was Benjamin Britten. That was Josh's
guess.
No,
if it's not those two, it's not. If it's not Britten, then those are
assuming. Like Curlew River.
I feel pretty confident that those are his two most popular operas.
Too.
So if it's not those, it's not Britten.
Well, I was thinking also Vanessa by.
It's not done very much.
Yeah. All right. Two versions on the Rolling Stone list. How about Satisfaction?
Ooh, who else? You think the Devo version?
No, I think Otis Redding.
Oh, that's it's not the answer. I didn't know Otis Redding covered that.
Okay.
That's,
yeah. Or how about Respect?
Good guess, but not right.
That's a good guess.
Yeah. All right. The has anyone gotten the cable car line?
No.
Maddie says it's the Powell that starts at Powell and Mark and Powell and Mason and then goes to Powell and Bay.
No, that is not correct. We're looking for the longest local cable car line.
Oh, yes. And the other chemical element that has the same letters as its periodic table number, it's boron.
That is correct.
Ah,
boron. Element number 5.
20 mule team boron.
Yep.
Aha. All right, here's a quick question to you. And, of course, Christmas is in 5 months.
They're very timely of you, yeah.
Very timely, but I was thinking, Christmas Gift to You, the album A Christmas Gift to You, also known as the Phil Spector Christmas Album. Name the four artists who participate on there.
It's not the Barking Dogs, is it? No. No, that's...
No.
This is pre-prison.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, who's that? What's the name of that woman who wasn't married to him, but worked with him a lot?
Darlene Love.
Yeah, right.
Is that who you're thinking
That's
of?
That's one.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Right, okay. Darlene Love. And that's as far as I can go.
Yeah, that's that's now I'm tapped out, too.
Yep.
The rest of the artists?
We don't know.
We don't know.
Well, you got the Ronettes.
Oh, of course.
Who was indeed married to Phil Spector.
Right, right.
The Crystals. The real Crystals, not Darling Love and the Blossoms.
Mm-hmm.
Who did He's a Rebel, but that's another story. And the other one was Bobby Sox and the Stockings.
Bobby Sox and the Stockings?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Phil Spector Group.
Mm, good to know.
Which means the Righteous Brothers did not participate on this.
Ah. Hmm. Well, thank you, Sparky.
Yeah, we're done.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Steve, you have something quick you can throw in?
No, No, we're still looking for the longest cable car line. I'm going to leave that one out there because that was... and I'm going to give you a hint because everybody's striking out on this.
All right.
I said local cable car line. Local.
Local.
Local doesn't mean San Francisco.
It doesn't? Local?
Somewhere in the Bay Area? Is there a funicular railroad that I'm not...
Local.
Local.
I like to see you guys think out loud.
Well, we're in San Francisco now.
Makes me,
yeah.
Makes me feel better.
Local cable car.
Yes, local.
Somebody's on that phone knowing.
Somebody knows.
All right.
Smarter than the two of you.
Yeah, that's
waiting.
I don't have a shorty.
You don't have a shorty?
Okay. No. You got a shorty?
All right. I'll give this, and then we'll see if anybody. I'll save it over for next week if nobody gets it. Virginia Woolf was the granddaughter of what famous author?
Virginia Woolf was the granddaughter?
Yes. Of an author that in some ways is even more famous. Well, maybe not today, but more, very famous.
No, I don't know. That's not right.
All right. No?
Is it Matthew Arnold?
It is not.
Okay.
I think Aldous Huxley was.
That's what I'm thinking of. There you go. I knew there was some lineage going on.
Exactly.
You're exactly right. That's what I'm confusing it with.
Yeah. Virginia Woolf is the granddaughter of what famous author? Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
These answers are just for the Rolling Stone 500 best songs.
Mm-hmm.
I think the instrumental perhaps Eruption by Van Halen.
Ooh, no, it is not. The instrumental somebody called in and got it was Green Onions by Booker T.
Okay, shows you how much I listen. Anyway, the next is the same song that was recorded by two different artists.
Mm-hmm.
How about you Really Got Me by the Kinks and Van Halen?
Ooh, good guess, but not right.
How about I Fought the Law by Bobby Fuller and The Class?
That's good, too.
It also good, but I'll just give you a hint that these pairs are a little bit more far apart in their demeanor than those two. I mean, these are showing up on a list as really different songs in some way. It's not so much a cover.
I'll have a quick question for you regarding that same topic.
Mm-hmm.
What was, as far as I know, what they proclaimed to be the best song out of the top 500?
Was it like a Rolling Stone?
And I think it was Good Vibrations.
Really?
Yeah, I think. I'm not totally certain.
Okay,
I'll get off the air.
All right, thanks. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there, it's Tom at Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Virginia Woolf, she wasn't granddaughter of Thomas Hardy, was she?
No.
Ah. Okay, and a couple of operas after 1900, Nixon in China?
That's an interesting guess, but no.
Or Klinghoffer?
No.
Shoot. Short stories, The Who Goes There, was that the basis for Starman?
No.
Foghorn, how about the basis for 2001?
No.
I'm striking out all over.
I like your guesses,
songs, songs recorded twice. How about Twist and Shout?
No.
By the Beatles and by Well.
No. Right. No, good guess, but not right.
Live and Let Die?
Mm.
By Guns N' Roses and by Wings?
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
No, once on that song was enough.
shoot. Okay. I've got three error boards to start with AL.
Okay.
Oh,
go. Yeah.
Albacore.
Oh, good.
Good, good.
And Alameda.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And Alhambra.
I thought of Alhambra, too, but I thought he was maybe not including capitalized words, but let's go with it.
Oh, and you said no? Okay. It's not? Oh, okay.
Well, no, it is. I was thinking maybe because it was a
right,
first name.
Yeah.
Maybe it wouldn't be.
Right.
So maybe the word actually means something in particular. Oh, Alcatraz.
Oh, yes.
I just thought of that.
That's exactly
right. Good.
Right.
Good, good.
Okay, and then I've got a question about a national anthem since the Olympics are on. So Bosnia's national anthem is reportedly possibly based on a theme from a American movie.
Interesting.
And the composer said he didn't think it was, but then he wasn't sure that maybe he had heard it before and based it on it when he wrote it.
Oh, so the composer is still alive then. So it's not a very old movie, then, is it?
Is it John Williams?
No, and it's Bosnia, so it's not. It's not John Williams. But the movie from the 70s.
Goof. Gosh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Go, yeah, I don't know how to. Yeah. Mm.
The comedy.
Gosh.
From the 70s. Comedy from the 70s with a theme song?
Yeah.
Was it Henry Mancini?
Yeah, and it's not really the theme song for the comedy. It's a theme that was in the movie.
Oh, hmm. No. We
don't know.
We don't know.
It was about a college.
Oh, Animal House?
Animal House is correct.
Huh. Who did that?
The thing at the end with the parade?
Who did the... Oh, I'm trying to think of the score.
I think it was Elmer Bernstein.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think so.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, the theme for the college, for Haber College.
Right. Okay. I have a vague memory of that.
Yeah, and if you listen to them, they do sound extremely similar.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
And the one other, only four countries in the world that have no lyrics in their national anthem.
I think Japan is one.
No, Japan does have lyrics.
Okay. Gosh.
Say the one I just gave you.
Bosnia.
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. I'd be totally guessing. Is Korea?
Yeah, no,
it'd be South Korea one?
No, not South Korea.
All right. No, we'd just be guessing then.
Okay, yes. Spain, San Marino, and Kosovo.
San Marino, how did we miss that?
Yeah, I don't know how you missed that one.
Thank you very much.
Can you sing the San Marino anthem?
Don't encourage it.
I can hum it.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Thanks. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I have some answers and questions if you have time.
Probably don't have time for the questions.
Let's go for the answers. All right. So the cable cars. Montecatini, Italy, there's a cable car.
We're looking for local, though. Italy is a lovely place, and I wish it was local. But
okay,
we're looking
so you
for
only
local.
Want local. I didn't pay attention. So I'm like every other guy that calls in. haha. In any event, let's see. Oh, so the song. What about I Will Always Love You, written by Dolly Parton and sung by Whitney Houston?
Not correct. Good
okay,
guess, though.
I like it, though.
Uh-huh.
I can only... like, really recommend the Christmas album, the Phil Spector one, okay?
Okay.
Now I'm trying to see what else you have. I try to keep track.
We only got 2 minutes.
Right, I know, and I'm trying, man. And I also don't... Can you tell me what's out there?
No, we don't have time.
You don't have time.
No,
oh
we've got to clean up here.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Okay. Let's clean up here.
All right. Well, the longest local cable car line is the new connector between the Oakland Airport and the Oakland BART station and the Coliseum BART station.
That's the longest.
That is over.
It doesn't
three,
look that long.
It's over 3 miles long. It's longer than the Hyde Street cable car, and it is a cable operated system.
Okay.
And the Pulitzer, thank you.
Yes.
Prize-winning autobiographer is Russell Baker.
Of course.
All right. Okay.
He was a good pal of Art Hoppe's.
Right.
The studies that we didn't get were urinology, which is the study of celestial bodies like Uranus, and cephalogy, which is the study of voting or elections, from the Greek word for a pebble, which is how you vote. The songs that appear twice on the Rolling Stone 500 list, including Mr. Tambourine Man, are Blue Suede Shoes by Elvis Presley and Carl Perkins and Walk This Way by Aerosmith and Run DMC.
Nice.
If I could walk that way, I wouldn't need to talk about it. As the old joke goes. Let's
the
see. Sorry. Yes, the two most performed operas of 20th century composers are Turn of the Screw by Britten. Yes, believe it or not. And Lady Macbeth of the
Mtsensk
District by Shostakovich. The Virginia Woolf was the granddaughter of William Makepeace Thackeray.
Was she?
She was. Wow. Farewell to the Master is a short story that The Day the Earth Stood Still was based on. The Foghorn was Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. And Who Goes There, probably the most famous of them all, is The Thing.
Ooh.
So, if we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight is San Francisco Chronicle reporter Steve Rubenstein. Thank you very much, Steve.
My pleasure.
From the Chronicle, Joshua Cosman. Thank you very much,
thanks
Josh.
Thanks for having me.
I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to David Latulipe and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Bye-bye.
Additional Al words from the Arabic: alcove, alembic, alfalfa, as well as alkali. Minds Over Matter returns next Sunday evening at 7. Do join us.
One way or the other, if it ain't full, it's blank.
This is 91.7 KALW San Francisco.